Joining me now on the phone is Tom Bowen, principal at New Chicago Consulting, senior advisor at Mac Strategies Group, political consultant. Tom, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. We kind of corresponded after the announcement of House Speaker Paul Ryan's decision not to seek re-election, and you know, was that kind of any kind of a symbol of something? Is he see something that his speakership is might not last very long? What are your thoughts here?
Well, and in the interim of that correspondence, there's been a special election in Arizona, a district that Trump won by 20 points. Then now the Republicans were successful this past week, but only by, I believe, single digits, 4 points or five, 4.5, something like that. And there have been a growing number of signs all across the country that Democrats have a very good chance of taking the U.S. House of Representatives. So, you know, Paul Ryan's decision, whether he was concerned about losing his own seat to a strong challenger or governing in the minority, either way, he called it quits. And I think that's a very big signal to the rest of the country that Democrats are Democrats have a strong advantage going into the November midterms.
We know that Democrats are energized, but does that energy sustain all the way through till November?
I think the answer is yes, and I think the biggest reason is Donald Trump. I mean, last night in Michigan, you know, he had a wild speech, and he's just so impulsive and unable to control himself that he sort of picks at the scab of everything that aggravates Democrats about, you know, the current Republican regime in Washington. You know, his EPA director is mired in scandal. His White House is in complete chaos. And I think the other part is, you know, a lot of ordinary Americans are seeing the policies that he's enacted, for example, a tax cut, and saying, well, I didn't really get much out of that, but, you know, Apple and other giant corporations got billions of dollars in tax cuts, so why should we continue this sort of thing? So, yeah, Democrats are going to be energized because Trump makes it easy, but independents have soured against Republicans, too, and that's why you see that Arizona special election for Congress so close. It's because the independents are turning against them, and our side is very energized.
I'm curious, too, that in more perhaps rural areas, more traditional red areas, but ones kind of steeped in agriculture, if this whole kind of trade war and imposition of tariffs might also be kind of a dissuasion factor for perhaps, you know, some of those red voters to go to the polls.
I think it's that healthcare tax policy and just a general uneasiness about his management of the White House. You know, I think a very strong argument that'll emerge this November for Democrats running for Congress is you need a constitutional check on not only the White House, but on this guy specifically. You know, we've seen some market moving price changes, you know, things like soybeans, hog futures. It takes a little bit of time to translate down to the average person for those price changes to sort of really hit people in the pocketbooks. And it also depends how far Trump pushes this. But someone's so kind of unpredictable, you know, I would be very nervous if I was in the agriculture business these days. On what, you know, China's a huge market, so we have to sell to a market that large.
I mean, it was kind of interesting. There's a story in the Washington Post, and, you know, when we think of, you know, Illinois and obviously agricultural products and pork trade with China, those kinds of things, and it's a significant issue. Washington Post has a story about, out of Wausau, Wisconsin, about ginseng farms. And the market, and the market of ginseng that's grown in Wisconsin and sold kind of to upper middle class incomes in China, and how that's now being tariffed. And that, for that local economy there, it's like $43 million of the local economy, which is, you know,
not insignificant. And it's, you know, trade has many unforeseen consequences when there's big changes in markets. And you know, I'm not a ginseng farmer expert, but I have a feeling that there's some, you know, stuff that goes into the process of farming there that supports other local economies, you know, be it fertilizer or transportation, and, you know, just paying your workers. So these things have big ripple effects. And again, this goes to a larger point why, you know, Democrats are obviously aggravated at 101 things that Trump does. But even independents who wanted to see kind of, you know, tear it up and start over again in Washington brought to it, I don't think this is what anyone signed up for. And that's why the House is so imperiled. And, you know, there's four Republicans in Illinois, congressmen, that are targeted. And I think that's the beginning of the list, not the end.
I know we're talking about the House, but I thought it was interesting. And I want to play this. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was on Fox News last week and delivered, I thought, a surprisingly frank assessment of the midterm elections and was trying to exhort Republicans to turn out to protect the GOP majority. Here's Mitch McConnell.
There's plenty of urgency, I can tell you that. I mean, the left is obviously fired up. They have been doing great on fundraising. The left turnout in places like the Virginia governor's race was stunning. So there's no question, I would say, to all of our Republican supporters across the country, we need to be turning out in big numbers this fall because the Democrats are fired up.
Yeah.
They want to take the Congress back. We think we have an excellent chance to hold it. But it does require a lot of enthusiasm. The Democrats are fired up. There's no question about it. But so are we. And we're going to be really fired up come November.
As I said, I thought it was a surprisingly frank assessment by the Republican leader of the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, their map is a little easier to defend than the House because not as many seats are up, of course. But, you know, a telling statistic, the nonpartisan Cook Political Report basically said there was 100 and some odd seats less conservative than that special election we've been discussing. Well, that partisanship, swing that's towards Democrats easily would bring in states like Texas, Tennessee, and give it even a shot at a place like Missouri, which has a special election, Mississippi, which has a special election up this year. Democrats have 10 seats they have to defend, and they really have to kind of draw an inside straight from the voters to defend all of their seats and then win, you know, some of those other crucial ones like Nevada and Arizona. But the, you know, partisan swing in the electorate is very, very real, and I'm sure it keeps Mr. McConnell up at night.
We're speaking to Tom Bowen, a principal at New Chicago Consulting and senior advisor to Max Strategies Group. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearce from the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in historic Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue. Joining me on the phone is Tom Bowen, principal at New Chicago Consulting and senior advisor at Max Strategies Group. We're talking about the midterm elections. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We've got a call from Ron. Ron, as always, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Yes, good morning, Richard, to you guys. My question, Mitch McConnell specifically said the left. I don't necessarily think the left and the Democrat Party is always synonymous. So I wanted to ask your guest, the influence, the activity, how much of this is attributed to, for lack of a better word, the Bernie Sanders part of the Democrat Party? Is that the direction that it's going to? Is that where a lot of this interest and activity is going? Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for your question, Ron. I think, you know, Washington folks use kind of, you know, broad terms to characterize things, but when McConnell says the left, what he kind of means is just sort of the folks who are most fervently opposing Republicans, and it's not just Bernie Sanders style Democrats. It's not just establishment liberal Democrats. It's new people who woke up in November and were a little shocked at what happened and then have seen, you know, Trump's leadership since and not been very happy about it even more so. I think it's especially younger voters, 18 to 29 age cohort, and especially women who have been on the periphery of politics many of these years, but now have decided that, you know, Trump plus some measure of the moment that changed America and the Weinstein scandal. So it's a big group of people, and that's why this is so dangerous for Republicans in Washington and, frankly, everywhere around the country. I mean, Bruce Rauner has a very tough re-election in front of him. And if I was a state House member in, you know, some of these areas like DuPage County that seem to be especially angry at Trump, I would be very, very scared about November.
Well, and I'm wondered, too, and you kind of touched on it. We've talked about it in the past about how, you know, the collar counties that were the traditional Republican firewall in the past, they still do lean Republican, but not the significant numbers. The demographics have changed. I think the power of suburban women voters has increased, and that it's not as reliably Republican as it used to be.
Well, two things happen in wave years. One is one particular party is fired up, and the other one is depressed. I think Republicans in Illinois have obviously the Trump problem, but they have a Rauner problem too. And a lot of those, you know, folks in DuPage, some parts of Will County, Lake and McHenry, the Republicans are going to stay home. The Democrats are coming out hell or high water, and those independents tend to be swinging against them because they are just aggravated at the way things are. And, you know, the antidote to the incumbency advantage is I'm not happy with things. So, when you see some of these state special elections, in the rural districts, in urban districts, in suburban districts, and the Democrats over performance, you know, we're talking 10 plus points in some of these.
Yeah, double digits.
Double digits. And turnout has been very, very high in these races. So, there's a lot of talk about a blue wave coming. I think the Republicans out there may have not have had races in the past. They should be prepared for this to crash down on them.
But as you know, as and kind of Ron alluded to this about the Bernie Sanders wing of the party kind of thing, are the Democrats in jeopardy of going too far to the left that may dissuade those independent voters that can make the difference?
I think the evidence so far has been Republicans are still attacking on kind of Trump style conservative, or, you know, not even conservative, but nativist fears. You see a lot of immigration targeted mail and television ads in some of these races in New Jersey and Virginia and some of these special elections. And what they're trying to do is actually bring Trump voters into the electorate because not all of Trump's base voters are regular midterm voters. I don't see actually a lot of, communication against Democrats, you know, for things like a $15 an hour minimum wage or stuff that I think really is a high priority of, you know, we'll call it the Bernie Sanders progressives, but I think it's a broader category than just them. But there's always a danger of going too far or not being the right candidate who fits an area because, you know, you just moved to that district or something like that. But those are few instances where, you know, we're going to miss an advantage with the wave that's building right now. You know, Democrats need 20 some seats to take the House of Representatives. And I think some of the current discussion, you know, with, again, nonpartisan race watchers is, you know, you're looking at potentially a 30 or even 40 seat swing.
Well, and you also touched on Illinois and questions about Bruce Rauner. And we haven't really seen, for example, J.B. Pritzker, the Democratic nominee, necessarily, you know, move from the primary, move to center.
Yeah, I think it's early for the issue set that J.B. Pritzker and Bruce Rauner will really bring to the general election. But you have to remember, Illinois is a very blue state and voted against Trump in a pretty high margin. So J.B. Pritzker has the luxury of, you know, running on probably most of the same issues he ran on in the primary, just fine-tuning the language a little bit.
You've worked for Mayor Rahm Emanuel in the past. We've got, what, 8 people that have announced that they're taking on the mayor. Does that say anything?
It does. There is unrest in the electorate right now. And You know, Rahm Emanuel had some troubles in a few years back with the Laquan McDonald shooting. That was a real spark against, you know, his leadership that he's recovered from. But I think the bigger problem he will have is, you know, Democrats are not happy about Washington. Democrats are not happy about Springfield. You know, there are things that go on at the local level that are, they're also unhappy about. But when you have this much unrest in the electorate, it is hard to ask people to continue with the way things are. And the mayor's a skilled political strategist and a, you know, skilled, you know, government official. And he will bring to bear, you know, more resources and approach to defeat that sort of unrest than any person you could imagine. But I was not comfortable about this election before our primaries in Illinois, and several of, you know, my clients were defeated because of what I feel is the nature of the environment. And I think any smart political strategist would be telling their folks, you know, if you haven't had a race in a while, or if you had a race last year, you better prepare the same way.
Changes in the air, perhaps?
Anger is in the air.
Anger is in the air. Very good. Tom Bowen, Democratic political strategist, principal at New Chicago Consulting, and senior advisor at Max Strategies Group. As always, Tom, great to talk to you. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Rick. Have a great morning.